Okay, this is make it weird. This is make it weird, and we're going to talk about dog stuff, and we're going to talk about other nonsense. And we actually did, well, we didn't do research for this one. We made a list. We took notes.
There was actually quite a bit of planning.
Yeah.
Between yesterday and today, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, for two people that plan almost nothing, anything above zero, I would say the 2023 December version of us are going to be like, this is barely planning. But the current version of us, because by the end of 2023, we're going to have so much shit planned. We're going to be expert planners. Listen, we took notes. We came up with an actual couple concepts that we were going to talk about rather than just sitting down and new spitballing ideas for 20 minutes. Man. Which is, normally it doesn't go well.
Haley never lets you guys hear the rambling for...
Yeah, we ramble for a solid 20 minutes before we even figure out what we're going to talk about. That's the occasional nonsense part. Let's put it that way.
What's funny is, though, but we make occasional nonsense when we're just talking about the thing we're supposed to be talking about anyway, though.
That is true. So okay, we're staying on topic. We're staying on topic.
2023. It's called an intro.
Oh, right. Okay, well, fuck it then. Yeah, here's the intro is where the nonsense lives.
And who knows? This could be the first one they're hearing. This could be the second one. This could be the third one.
I mean, we also don't want to restrict the nonsense to just being in the intro, because that is false advertising. Put us in that box. We don't like being in that box.
Thrive in those boxes.
No, we're bad playing inside the lines. Okay, we actually picked a topic. We're going to talk about jobs in the dog industry, because a lot of people seem to think they're like, I'm going to run a rescue. I'm going to open a boarding kennel. I'm going to like be a dog trainer, or I'm going to sell finished like drug detection dogs. Like there's no in between. People are like, I am going to go from, hey, that's it, to I'm just like running my normal life and I'm going to sell finished drug dogs. And I'm like,
there's
a lot of
extremes.
There are so many spots in between there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what are they?
And this is the thing. Okay, our notes weren't that good, okay?
Okay.
So the other thing is we wanted to talk about them because this is an industry that really has quite a lot of turnover for a bunch of reasons.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the things that is really popular in this industry is hiring very, very young people and not treating it like a career and treating them like, hey, this is minimum wage, disposable, you don't have a regular schedule, you get hurt a lot. So people in the entire industry get the impression that the jobs in this industry aren't professional jobs. You don't take them as a career. You don't do them as a career. You can't make money.
It's part-time work.
It's part-time kid work. It's
fluff the resume.
Yeah, it's what you do in college, right? People don't seem to think that there's actual careers that you can make money in. And that's just absolutely not the truth. Not at all. I mean,
if we had a fact checker, we can say how big, like how much money the dog industry makes a year. Like people spend a lot of money on pets.
If anyone would like to be a fact checker, please send an email to betatrains@gmail.com.
Hey, new job in the dog industry for the dog podcast. Fact checker.
Yeah, perfect. There we go. Okay, look, new job.
We're creating jobs. Yeah. We are the economy.
Yes. We're trying real hard, folks. Okay, so, I mean, we're going to open with the standard one because we do it, but dog trainer. So I think a lot of people think dog trainer is one of those things that you do for a year at PetSmart or you do it for a year or two here or there.
Everyone becomes so obsessed with, like, starting their own company as a dog trainer.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, that...
Because it's a highly unregulated industry, most Woo-hoo. People really seem to go, okay, well, I read online that you can just make a company. I've trained a couple dogs. I'm going to do that. And you know what? To a degree, if you have a bit of experience, that's not the world's worst thing, but there are a lot of downsides to that. And the other thing is, a big downside is that it's very, very easy to wind up injured if you are a one-man show as a trainer with one specific type of niche and go, okay, well, I have to shut this company down, right? It's very, very easy to wind up and be like, okay, I've gotten hurt or I now have kids and I have to change kind of the way this my job is working, and they completely abandon their company. And one of the things that you can do is you can work for an existing company. You can apprentice. One of the popular ways to get into dog training is to, you know, take an online certification or something. But one of the other ways that has been kind of an old standby for a long time is to apprentice under someone or work for someone. And to be honest, if you are not sure if dog training is for you, apprenticing under someone or working for someone else's company is not a bad way to go.
Yeah, it just seems bonkers to it, because, like, that was a suggestion made to me. It was, like, start your own, a long time ago, start your own company.
Yes, and I have a heart attack here.
And it's just, like, but I'm going to be honest, it looks like a lot of work to start your own company.
Well, but here's the other thing is, yes, it is a shit ton of work, 100%. I say that,
but especially when you don't know what you're doing. Like, if you're learning to become a dog trainer and learning how to run a business.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing, though, that's why a lot of training companies don't succeed, is because you're trying to learn how to train dogs at the same time as you're trying to learn how to run a business, because you don't really know how to train dogs. You've trained a dozen dogs for friends.
Yeah.
And so you don't really know how to be a trainer, and you don't really know how to run a business. The other part of it is that you have a skewed perspective, though, because you work here.
Yeah.
Where the majority of the cases we take are not cases that you would be special. That you should be they're special.
They're
cases.
Special.
So for you to consider being like, hey, I would run my own company by myself with some of the dogs that we take, that, like, we require two handlers in the room or two handlers with the dog for right. the first week of intaking some of these dogs, like, just as baseline safety procedures. That you have a skewed perspective, because you didn't work for a company where it's like, hey, we took 10 puppies this week. Hey, we took a couple dogs that pulled. Oh, yeah. You're like, I will take so many double handler dogs before I take 10 puppies.
Oh my God, 10?
It's so much
fun. Unless you work in, like, a very, very big facility. Like,
no, but this
I can't
is
even imagine
a lot of
10
people,
dogs in one room.
But I also mean 10 puppies, like, you do privates in someone's house and you leave. Like, you do 2 hours of privates a day and that's it. And
yeah.
It's two or three puppies and that's it. And, yeah, I think people just, you have a bit of a different perspective, because your yes. first one here
oh,
was
yeah. this
kind
is,
of
yes. This is my experience.
Yeah, your experience was a bit extreme. But, yeah, so one of the things you can do is absolutely become a trainer, and you can become a professional dog trainer. I don't know if I ever told you this. I was getting an x-ray of my hand, like, a year ago, and somebody was like, hey... The guy was like, oh, what do you do for a living? And I said, oh, I'm a professional dog trainer. And the guy kind of was like, oh, professional, eh? And I was like, yeah. Like, the word he clapped onto was professional, because
yeah.
I've said professional dog trainer for 4 years, because so many people think it's a hobby.
Yeah.
So many people are just like, oh, is that a job? That I straight up specify now. And I've introduced myself, if anybody asks what my job is, for years, and I'm actually going to tell them my real job. I go, hey, yeah, I'm a professional dog trainer. Because... literally, people just go, that's a job? Like, oh, like, you can do that?
Like, you're
for a
doing
living?
That.
Oh. And he clapped on to, oh, professional? Like, he was literally like, oh, what? And I was like, yeah, no, that's a real job. That's a real job. That's a thing. But I've straight up started to do that for years now, though, because it's so easy for people to just say, oh, that's
brush
a hobby.
It off, yeah.
But, oh, but are you doing that while you're in school? No.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, you probably get that.
I get. Well, it's just like, are you still working with the dogs? Just in the sense of, like,
well, what are you going to do next?
Yes. Like, I can tell when I talk to people, nobody thinks, for the most part,
yeah.
nobody looks at it or hears what I do. And, like, they think I work with cute puppies all day, which
no.
don't want to also. But anyway.
Yeah, you're like, not only do I not do that, I don't want to do that.
But also, yeah, like, it's just, maybe not when are you going to school, but, like,
when are you going to find your career?
Even the other day, my grandma was asking me, because she knows not to ask about my love life. So she was yeah. just like, so, like, you're still with the dogs? And I'm like, yep. And she's just like, so, like, what are you planning on doing? What's the long-term plan? You're going to work? She, in a sarcastic way, she's like, you're going to work there until you drop? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
And obviously,
very
like, no
surprised.
Harm meant. But, like, yeah, like, just, it's not
oh, yeah.
something people think of like, oh, you're gonna choose to become
yes.
this.
Oh, people, and
you
I've
fell
had...
in, you're gonna fall into it, you're gonna do it for a while, you're gonna maybe make money, you're gonna
yeah.
have fun, but you're not gonna choose to go do
yeah.
and pursue this.
A lot of people think I fell into this and I didn't have a job before this, and I left a pensioned, unioned. You very, left, I left a real job.
Big girl job.
Yeah, I had a big kid job. And this is what I did choose instead. And people are genuinely shocked. They go, oh, well, you must needed to make a job. Like, you must not have been able to get a job somewhere. And I'm like, no, I left a job with 6 years seniority and a pension and a great
you
benefit.
You chose to do this.
I definitely chose to do this. And people are just downright shocked. But yeah, so trainer, you absolutely can treat training as a career. The problem is that a lot of people don't treat it like a career.
No.
You know, it's a side gig, it's a thing that they do for funsies, and it's a thing that they don't really understand how to make a career out of. They go, well, I'm going to make a couple group classes, I don't know how I could live off of this, though. Or they go, wow, I've done a couple group classes, I made really good money.
And but then it's like, oh, do I rent a physio? Like, it just...
Yeah, they don't know where to go from there. Or if they get hurt, again, if you're running a one-man show, if you get hurt, which is a distinct possibility in this job, if you get hurt or you have kids or you have something that changes the nature of the job, you don't know where to go from there. And then you leave. And I'm like, well, the nice thing about training, if you treat it as a career from the beginning, you've treated it as a career from the beginning. So right now, if you were like, listen, I don't want to work aggression and reactivity anymore, you could very easily, with very little prep work, switch into puppy group classes. You could switch into handling stuff. You could switch into, hey, pivoting, I'm going to do pet obedience. Like, you could switch into sport classes. Like, there's a ton of, because you've treated this as a career from the beginning, you've tried to do lots of professional development from the beginning. And I've always treated this like a career for the people that have worked here as well. I'm like, you should know how to do this. Yeah. You should think about it. You should problem solve it yourself. I'm not going to tell you this is the only way you can do it and you're never allowed to think outside the box, because if you don't know how to think outside the box on your own, you are not going to be able to stay in this niche for sure. But like, if you go to leave this niche, which a lot of people do, they're going to struggle. So from the beginning, I've also always said, here, you're going to learn how to do this rather than me just tell you, hey, press A, B, A, B, you up, won't down,
need,
down.
Yeah. You'll need our way of doing it, and that's it.
Yeah, so obviously we believe in people being dog trainers. We believe you can be a professional dog trainer. We believe that you should probably, like, learn under someone for a while just because it's safer.
Yeah.
And it's also, I think it's also good because, like, There's just more people to share the stuff with, right? Especially if you're doing
dogs
behavior.
Dogs don't talk back. And like, it's just...
Yeah, you want to actually have a conversation with another human being every once in a while. It's a
and
nice
not just
thing.
Like, obviously for mental health, that's great. Can't just talk to your dog, I told. But but also just like in a... If you're having troubles, maybe you're not even having troubles. Maybe you found a really good way to do something. Like, it's just... It is very... beneficial to have someone else to talk to that isn't just a dog or a client who doesn't understand.
That's
the other thing, is like, even if you talk to people, maybe you have a busy social life and you have friends as a dog trainer.
But
it's also, it's very different just talking, and not just, I don't think in the behavior niche, but in anything, talking to a person who understands working with dogs and what that means versus not is different conversations.
100%. And having those conversations also helps you become a better dog trainer, because you're talking about it. Those people that train by themselves live in a bubble a lot of the time.
Yes.
And when you want to talk about, hey, I figured out how to do this and it's completely different from how I would have figured it out, awesome. Then we can have a conversation about that. But that wouldn't even be an opportunity if I worked alone.
Well, like, and if you're only surrounded by, let's say, your clients, they are going to trust you as the professional. So whatever you say, they're not going to, like, they're going to take that as the word. So it's just kind of, though, you're in, again, in the little bubble
it's
of, like...
It's just an echo chamber.
Yeah, so
you
then
just
it's
just,
make
like, your own echo chamber, which is great if you have a massive ego, because, your clients are going to think that's the only
you're
way
great,
you can ever do something.
And you're going to believe it because you've never heard anything else.
Yeah, and you don't want to hear anything
You've never
else.
Seen anything else.
Yeah, so we absolutely think people should look at training as a career. I think it's a super viable career for a lot of people. I also just think that it's a really good thing to do in a team, like as a team, not as a solo one-off. I also think it's a thing that should be treated as a professional career from the beginning. So absolutely trainer. But then a lot of people kind of think that's the end. You can be like, again, trainer, or I'm going to, and when they say trainer, they genuinely mean, like, I'm going to train and sell finished drug dogs. There's so many people. But there's a bunch of other careers. A really popular one that people overlook all the time. They go, okay, well, I'm also just going to be a vet. No, no. Vet tech is definitely a thing. You can be a vet, 100%. Go to school. If you're a school person, go to school. Ooh. We need more vets, 100%. Because vets have the world's hardest job. They really do. But vet tech, a lot less school, just as much need.
Yep.
Holy shit, we need vet techs like mad. Everywhere needs vet techs. It doesn't matter where you live. That is an in-demand career.
Yeah.
They are short literally everywhere. I do not know one fully staffed vet clinic that would not be like, oh, ooh, I would love to see. Yeah, I would love to see your application. Yeah, 100%. So vet and vet tech are kind of the school-based ones where I'm like, yeah, you definitely you have like to go to school for that. Yeah, you if or you live in a family where they say, like, oh, you have to go to school, because we do know that that exists. Okay, those are the careers that you can get started in, and you could be a vet tech for a little while and look into another less school-focused career and have that as a gateway into the industry.
Yeah.
But one that people overlook all the time, groomer.
Yes.
Groomer. Oh, my God.
And they're underrated.
Oh, my God. Yes.
God.
Yeah. If you have, like, any form of, like, I want to say, like, artsy leaning, like, you got to be pretty, you got to be really good.
In a lot of things.
You got to be really good. You got to be good at, like, oh, my God, you got to have patience. One of the hardest jobs, and I will stand by this. I will die on this hill. One of the hardest jobs in the dog industry is bather.
Ugh.
Which is like how you, a lot of people apprentice into being a groomer. And so you're bathing and a lot of times you're drying dogs. And it's just like, that is backbreaking, never ending work. Yeah. Like that is hard. It sucks. I could not do it. No. I could not do that all day.
Being a groomer in general, like to me, that does not sound it's fun at all. It's
so physically strenuous. But like, people go, oh, it's like, oh, you're just like cutting dogs. You're washing puppies. When you cut people's hair, you can tell them to stay still. Huh. Not dogs.
You can't.
Nope.
Sure. And no. Just like, but like dogs are super stressed at the groomers sometimes. Like it's not.
So they
can
be super stressed. And if a human is super stressed while the hairdresser's there, they're like, oh, please stop. If a dog is super stressed, you can get bit, like bit. Cause a lot of people will say my dog is totally fine. And then their dog is not. And they lie to their groomer. And that's rude. Don't ever do that.
Don't lie to your groomers. Don't lie to any of your dog professionals. Please. Actually,
yeah, please don't do that.
I mean,
that
don't would be lie bad. In general. But if you're going to pick a class of people to not lie to.
Yeah, the people handling your dog with the teeth. Because again, not it.
Dogs can't tell us.
No.
The dog can't be like, I'm not good at this.
Yeah, and the amount of groomers afterwards, they're like, hey, so your dog kind of struggled and kind of bit me. And people are like, oh, yeah, that's why we got kicked out of the last three. It's like, you didn't think to mention that? Yeah, could have said something. Yeah, yeah. So, but grooming, you can make really decent money grooming. You can learn, I mean, it is a bit of an apprenticeship. Like, you can take courses and get, like, certificates and diplomas and stuff. But yeah. It really is a bit of a learning curve. You apprentice for a while. But the other nice thing is you can work just about anywhere. You can work for a salon. You can work on your own. You can work at home. You can work mobile grooming. You can
There's lots of different there's options. There's
so many options that you can get hired
based
into.
On where what you have access to.
Yeah, and everywhere needs groomers. Like, yep. Everywhere needs
so
groomers.
Many doodles, man.
Oh, my
and
God.
And those
so
doodles need grooming.
Yeah, so many doodles, and they all need a groomer. All of them. Yeah. But after groomer, what do we have? What do we have? Oh, we have how you got into the dog industry. Dog walker. Yeah, and again, this is again one of those things that's like, oh, don't you do that when you're 12 and you put up your flyer on the telephone pole?
Well, yes, you could if you're one, but no.
No, they're professional dog walkers, people that make decent money.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually make really decent money being a dog walker. You can have a very standard clientele list, and you can make solid money.
Yeah. Yep. Again, people like to spend money on their dogs, and like, lots of people are busy nowadays. Like, they're happy. Like, that's literally what I did for like a year was just walk their dogs while they were at work. You walk them, you take them to the park,
yeah.
you let them out, like, and whatever it is.
Dog walking is a super solid one because, yeah, you don't really need to apprentice under too many people. No. You don't really need any form of, like, a diploma, education certificate, whatever. It's also highly unregulated, which means you can make your own company. But the nice thing about dog walking that is not training is that you can have a standard clientele list.
Yes.
You can, like, get 30 to 50 really solid clients. You could get 50 clients and close your books. And be like, okay,
right.
You can waitlist people.
Because like I would say a lot of these ones have the clientele that are very consistent, but it's mm-hmm. just like, yeah, if I was booked for a dog walk, I was booked for that dog every Monday, every week. Mm-hmm. Like that, it's not like people, it's not really like, oh, I need this once mm-hmm. and I'm done. That is a type of job where like you can be, if you're reliable, your clients will be.
Yeah. And that gets you a lot of dog walkers. And this kind of rolls into another job that we talk about all the time is dog sitting.
Oh yeah.
That like professional pet sitting is actually a thing. Like everybody goes, well, isn't that a thing you do on Rover? Isn't that a thing? No, you can actually
be
a professional
pet
sitter. And one of the things that, like, a lot of people that have walking businesses do have, like, a sitting service as well. But you can just be a professional sitter, especially if you have a background in training or a background in vet tech and you're going to, like, retire and you're looking at it just being, like, a side gig. Taking care of dogs that have, like, daily medication or dogs that just – older dogs that don't do well outside of their own environment or any dog that doesn't do well outside of its own environment. Like, actually just having – any form of pre-existing skill and being like, that is a thing, 100% professional pet sitting is worth it. Yes, you can hire someone off Rover, 100%. First off, that is dangerous for you because you have no idea what their skill level is. 100%, a dog jumps a fence, they may not know what to do at all.
Right.
100%, they may not know what they're getting into at all. Number two is if you are considering doing something like, hey, I'm going to go on Rover, that can be very dangerous. So just for anybody that is considering going, hey, I'm going to just pet sit and throw myself over and see what happens, and it'll be a nice side gig. Yes, 99.9% of the time, that is a nice little side gig. Good for you. What I would suggest is if you're going to consider making that a side gig and you don't have any professional experience in the animal world, you need to be very, very careful on how you take clients.
Yeah.
You need to meet the dog
first. Be picky on who you choose.
You need to be picky on who you choose, but you just need to have a very specific protocol. And like, you need to have met the dog before the owner goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have gone into the house with the owner, like down, outside. Like just outside in the driveway.
Not
gone
right
into
there.
The house and gotten them out of the crate or gone in and they're right there and see what happens. Because I'm going to tell you some of the worst injuries I've heard of in the last few years are people that have taken a side gig as a pet sitter and people have gotten them to come in not knowing that their dog would react completely differently with them not there. That is a whole different can of worms.
Well, like, and especially, again, circling back to COVID dog, that's going to be a whole other wealth of problems. Just like they've only been in their house with their owners and you're gonna walk in here.
So like, we honestly, I think professional pet sitting, again, if you have any background in pet stuff or you have background in animal stuff, there's ways that you can enter a house, there's ways that you can introduce yourself to a dog without an owner present that will not get you injured or will likely not get you injured. But if you are just like a random young kid who, you know, at 19 is looking to just throw yourself on Rover.
No experience with animals whatsoever.
Just be aware that not all dogs are friendly.
Yeah.
And there is risk when you are going into their own environment to just be like, hey, surprise, I'm a stranger in your own environment. That can be really risky for owners, but really, really risky for people. So if you're going to do that, I would not really suggest Rover. I would suggest working for a small company that can teach you how to do these things.
Or branching from just a different industry.
Yeah, branching from a different industry and you're probably going to be fine. But if you are a brand new person and you're looking to get into, I want to make some extra money and be around dogs, dog walking is honestly a bit of a safer one.
Yeah.
Just because there is almost always a meet and greet. It is expected. With pet sitting, it's not as expected, which is just, I find
weird.
Very,
should
very
be the opposite,
weird. Yeah, I find it very weird.
If we're going to pick one.
But yeah, with dog walking, there is kind of the expectation from the owners that, like, you are going to be taking their dog outside their house. So they kind of know that if the dog is wildly out of control, they don't hire a dog walker.
Yeah.
They go, wow, this is going to go really bad. Like, oh, I won't do that to somebody. Pet sitting, they don't know that their dog is going to react that badly.
And, like, if you start as a dog walker, though, like, the people that you walk for are most likely going to ask you to pet sit.
Yeah.
If that's something you're interested
in the future.
Whether
it's something you do or not, they will ask you to pet sit.
You will be the first one. And it's nice because then at least you've built a relationship with the dog because you take it for a walk every
week.
Yeah,
and it's used to you showing up. And dog walking is a far safer, like, kind of gateway.
Entry level.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing that is a little bit, it has its safe moments, it has its not safe moments, is doggy daycare. You can work in doggy daycare and work in doggy daycare as an attendant. You can work, and we kind of consider doggy daycare and, like, kennel tech to be very similar.
Yeah.
Doggy daycare is not playing with dogs. Doggy daycare is learning how much work is in this industry.
Being a ref and...
Yeah, you're learning how to be a referee and you're learning how to clean stuff. Like, you are just, you are learning how to referee with a mop. Like, you are just cleaning so much pee. So, I mean, doggy daycare gives you a really good in into understanding this industry on a professional level. You're like, oh, I really like dogs. Dogs are great. Getting into doggy daycare gives you a real fast and hard bucket of water over the head on what this industry is actually about, which is generally a ton of physical labor, a metric ton of bodily fluids, and then, like, sometimes you pet a dog.
It's very loud.
It's very loud. Most doggy daycares are incredibly loud. So that's a very easy entry-level one to find. A lot of people are finding doggy daycare stuff, but you can also run daycare stuff, and you can run, like, day program stuff, and that is a job. Like,
yep.
There are small-scale day
homes.
Play groups and day yep. homes and stuff that 100% can be run really safely. You need a lot of experience. In my opinion, you need a lot of experience to run a daycare, an actual commercial daycare, safely. If you have a metric ton of experience, absolutely, you can
Give
run
her.
A daycare pretty safely. But, like, you actually need a lot of experience to do that safely. To be able to, like, do a cold read on a dog that's coming in and doing a trial day and knowing whether or not long-term they're going to get along. Like, you're going to need a bit of experience on that one.
You got to know how to vibe check a dog.
Yeah, there's
it's a good quality across the board in the dog industry, learning how to vibe check a dog.
Yeah.
But
for daycare, that's, like, top level.
You better
skill.
Vibe check quick.
Yeah, you better vibe check quick and accurately.
Yeah.
Like, really accurately. There is very little margin
good.
For error when you all of a sudden have a room of 25
dogs. I was
going to
say, when you're throwing them in a room full of 80 dogs, you better know that dog's personality.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. So then, okay. So, like, daycare, sitter, walker, trainer, groomer, vet and vet tech.
I thought of another one.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
What?
It is related and, like, admin for dog businesses, but with some dog handling skills.
Actually, okay, listen. Legitimately, this is
dog experience, but admin.
Yes.
Can touch a dog, but admin.
Yes. Oh, my God. Okay, listen. I would say a solid... I know, again, this is an unresearched statistic, but I'm going to throw a number out there. I'm going to say a solid 80 to 85% of the people in the dog industry that are handling dogs have zero clue how
don't
to do
have
their
the
own
admin personality.
They don't know how to do invoicing. They don't know how to run
I'm
going to
say 89%. That's my fake stat.
And let me tell you, both of those are probably low balls. 100%. If you have, like, a decent amount of dog handling knowledge, you can, like, take a leash, work a dog with, like, you
yes.
can, you have a bit of dog handling, but you actually have the
like
admin.
Organizing things and scheduling things.
Oh,
and
my God.
Creating things like that in itself is.
Yes.
Because
let me tell you, because so the dog industry is a niche. It is a very weird little niche.
Full of psychos.
Yes. And people don't understand that. And so you get into this thinking, like, I'm going to do this admin. Like, it's like, hey, I'm being a receptionist at a dentist's office.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you don't understand,
well,
man.
Like, and if you come, like, because I feel like there are a lot of people who are happy with an admin position and want to do that and like
yes.
that type of work. But if you also kind of like dogs, I think it's, like, if you could find that niche of, like, doing dog admin, but, like, yeah, if you hand me a leash, I'm not going to be freaked out or scared of dogs. I'm also have no inclination to continue pursuing the teaching people or doing the things with the dogs. I just, you hand me a dog, I can hold it while we walk to the car or whatever, but I'm going to schedule the whole business. Yeah.
That is very niche.
And
that
it's very niche. Very appreciated.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, that's the thing. And there are so few people that have... So because it's such a niche industry, you actually have to have a lot of baseline knowledge about dogs in a professional sense.
Yes.
So you actually have to have a decent understanding of breed. You have to have a decent understanding of owners. You have to have a decent understanding of whatever the services are in that niche that are offered. It could be boarding. It could be sitting. It could be training. It could be vet. If you like, there are different services in all of those niches. And if you get into the admin side of this and you have admin skill, I'm going to tell you, most training companies would fall over themselves to hire you. 100%. Most of us very, very much so.
Well, because
at our own admin.
I feel like those are usually different personalities. Yeah. The person who wants to like work with dogs or like that.
But there's
type
so
of
many
thing.
Trainers. Like I know so many trainers, and so many trainers actually call me. I have friends that are trainers that call me that go, "How did you get an admin? And how do I get one?" I've had that call, I think, 3 or 4 times just this year. Like, just this year. And I'm talking, like, an hour-long phone call of, like, okay, but I have follow-up questions. Like, this is not a text they send me casually. This is, like...
You put a fancy notebook underneath a bucket propped up by a pencil?
You've had a fancy notebook and a very fancy pen underneath a bucket, and you trap the good ones.
Yeah.
Haley has a fancy notebook, and anytime I see it, I run, because that means she has questions for me, just as a side note. But that's the thing is, like, I actually know so many trainers, even beyond the ones that have called me, because the ones that have called me just happen to know how my business is run, and they happen to know that I have an amazing admin that does, most of the shit here. But there's so many people that even I just know casually on Facebook that run companies that are like, hey, does anyone know anyone looking for an admin position in this industry? And I'm like, because they go, well, how do they know anything about dogs? Like,
yes.
They can't interview people because they don't know anything about dogs. And I'm like, you may have to train somebody.
Yeah.
But if you know a decent amount about dogs on a professional level and you, oh my God. And if you have some form of dog handling skill, like let
Beautiful.
Me tell you, people will fall all over themselves to hire you. Even if you are like, hey, I don't have dog handling skill, but I'm willing to like work remotely or whatever. Like, people will fall all over themselves. 100% training companies will be like, hey. And they won't always advertise, hey, I'm looking for an admin. But you know what? You
Apply.
Can absolutely See approach companies and just be like, hi, I'm an organized person with admin experience. I have 2 years of knowledge in the dog industry. Maybe you like trial and rally. Like maybe you have a dog sport you're interested in. Maybe you're just, you've worked in the vet tech.
Training your own dog. Like,
yeah, maybe
even
you're
that
just
works.
A dog nerd. You're a dog nerd. 100%. If you sent that email describing yourself and your qualifications to, let's say, 20 dog companies, I think five would email you back.
And you could just tell this group of people is really into cover letters, so like, yeah, you send those cover letters.
Yeah, 100%. You send all the things. So for anyone's reference knowledge, I was like, hey, I'm looking for an admin, and I made a job posting, and it was all fancy, and we took some applications, and one of the applications happened to be from someone that was sending their dog here. Her dog was in our puppy stuff. And I went to drop her dog off, I don't know, like 4 days after I received her resume. And I dropped her dog off at her house and she was like painting her kitchen. And I was like, hey, can I just like talk to you on your front porch? And she's in like painting clothes. Oof. And I was like, hey, just like some follow-up questions. And at the end of it, I was like, cool. Well, yeah, that was pretty much the interview for me. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm going to hire you. And she was like, excuse me, why are we having this conversation in painting clothes on the
porch? On the
like,
porch.
This is not organized. And I was like, oh, this is a good sign. Because to me,
this was
signed, sealed, delivered. We're done. We're fine. To her, she was like, how are you doing even this disorganized? Let me tell you, that was organized to me. So 100%, that is a good one.
It's a good job.
That's actually like, there's niche,
Should've started
there's animal
with that.
Niche,
yeah.
And then there's even more.
Well, like,
niche.
And I feel like everybody's always like, oh, I want to get started in the dog world. I gotta do all these things. But it's like, if you don't want, like, you don't have, there's a large chunk of these jobs that like, you don't have to be hands-on with like dogs at all, really. Yeah. You could just be in the environment.
Yeah, all of these jobs, you could also be in the admin side of them. Because I'm going to tell you, if someone is successfully in any part of this, the admin side of this is wild, because you're not dealing with people's furniture. You're not dealing with their car. You're dealing with their feelings. Oh my God, people have big feelings.
Whoa.
And that means that there can be a lot of admin attached to every single client. It's not like you're booking them in for their car appointment. Right. Here's the 5-second summary. I'm going to tell you what we did. Thank you. Have a good day. It's not like you're learning a new skill. You're taking a cooking class. People are going to be like, okay, I take this cooking class. I show up on this day, this time. Cool. And then they move on with their life if they like it or don't. They're going to be like, okay, but like, what happens if I don't like the person? What happens if my dog doesn't like the person? What happens? Okay, should I bring a blanket? Should I not bring a blanket? Like,
how much food is too much food? Should I measure the kibbles?
Yeah, should I measure the kibbles? Should I not measure the kibbles? Should I, like,
Do I even send food?
And it all comes from a place of caring. People genuinely just want
There's just big feelings about
their own dogs. There's so many big feelings attached to someone's family member.
And someone's got to sort through that.
Yes. So we...
Dog admin.
Thank you, Haley. Thank you, Haley.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if we didn't mention this as a job?
Yeah.
We almost missed that, because that's not even on the list.
That's not even on the list. We made a list. Wait, what else is on the list? Did we do most of the list?
I think we covered everything on
boarding.
The list.
Boarding kennels.
Oh, just yeah.
Straight up boarding kennels. Honestly... If it is, okay, the thing I'll say about running a boarding kennel, everyone and their brother, once I bought this place, because my property had an old boarding kennel on it that had been completely shut down. It was just kind of a shell of a building. But when I said, oh, I bought this property with like an old boarding kennel on it, I would say, 10 out of 10 people went, oh, I love to run a boarding kennel. Oh, I've always wanted to run a boarding kennel. Okay, here's the thing. Boarding kennels are an extreme amount of work. They are an extreme amount of labor. You got to know some stuff about dogs, 100%.
It's just work.
It's not super knowledge intensive.
No, but it's chores.
It's chores. And it is 24/7.
And it's chores with living things.
Yes.
It's not just janitor and maintenance and like things where you don't have, like, you have to be invested. You have to care.
Yeah, you have to care. And you have to care all the time. You can't be like, I care now and I'm going to be off the clock at 3 and I'm not going to care for the rest of the day. Nope. They
I'm
going to
take
an
hour-long lunch break every day at the specific time.
No, you're not.
Which you can. You could attempt that, totally.
Yeah,
but, like, also acknowledging that if something goes wrong,
yeah,
that's you.
That's on you. Yeah. Yeah. This
back
is,
in it.
And that's what people don't understand going into it, is that it is labor, and it is labor on another living creature's schedule, which is... I mean, it's super important. You have to care. You have to do it, and you don't just randomly get days off.
Because it is not a knowledge-based thing in the sense of, like, yeah, scooping food into a bunch of bowls for a bunch of dogs doesn't require, I wouldn't say, like, a degree.
No.
But, yeah, doing that, like, 2 to 3 times a day for 20 dogs,
and I mean,
work.
You can run a successful boarding kennel that has guillotine runs, like guillotine doors on separated runs, and you can literally board 20 dogs overnight and dump food in bowls, and they go from indoor to outdoor run, and that is it. And you hose down the run when you push them out and hose down the other side when you push them in. And you can run a business where you can make money on that. But the thing is, there's also a way to run boarding where it is a labor of love. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that runs, she has 6 suites and she has separate runs and everything. But, like, the enrichment. Like, she makes sure they do something every day. She makes sure they get to go outside in the big yards and they play. And she makes play buddies. And she makes enrichment toys. And she makes, you know, fancy walks. And she does big pictures. And, you can also do it as 6 to 10 suites and very boutique style. And be like, hey, there's ways you can do boarding that can make it very, very, like, care-oriented.
Yeah.
And there are ways that you can do boarding where you throw the dog
hands
in the run.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you, when people go, oh, I would run a boarding kennel. No.
No,
you wouldn't.
I
invite you to work with me for 72 hours. For 72 hours. Just come and shadow me for 72 hours. Because We have a boarding aspect of our job, but we don't, we're not a boarding kennel, but we do take boarding for the clients that we work with, mostly because our clients can't go anywhere.
Else. They don't.
So a lot of our clients have specialty.
They don't get to go in play groups.
Yeah, most of our clients
are criminals.
They
go to the halfway house. It's fine.
The nice way to say this is that they are just not welcome at other facilities for various reasons. So that makes it a little bit different here, but the labor doesn't change.
Yeah.
Like the way we have to handle those dogs does change sometimes. And the way we are, our facility is set up makes our labor far more difficult. Actually, someone asked me on TikTok in a comment, they were like, it was the video I did where I was pottying Frank. And they were like, well, how do you decide who gets hand pottied? And I was like, actually,
fun fact,
every single dog for every single let out.
Gets hand-bodied. It's super fun all year round.
It's super fun in minus 40. It's super fun in pelting rain.
It's
so
super fun.
It's just fun. But you know what? First off, that's the way our facility was was made. So we got to roll with what we got. The other thing is the dogs that we take, that is the safest way to do what we do. So we also
do it.
Roll with that. But that's the thing, is that's massively labor intensive. So yes, sometimes there's more labor here than other places, but boarding in general, everyone and their brother goes, well, I could just run a boarding kennel. And I'm like,
you can't, Jonathan.
Sit down or stand up and come work with me for 72 hours, because I guarantee you by the third 15-hour day where you are covered in shit for the third day in a row, you will...
maybe not want to find another
retirement gig.
Maybe.
Yeah, I had, the last time I went to hire someone where I actually put out an ad, I had two different people go, hey, that'd be a nice retirement job. Like, I've retired and I'm looking for this. And I was like, oh,
no,
I'm so sorry. This is not a good place for that.
It's a good place to close your rings.
Yeah. Yeah, I have learned all about the rings from you guys.
I'm not worried about my rings when I work.
No, no.
At all.
No, it's a special time. But yeah, so there are tons of jobs in and around dogs. The one thing that I would not say to aim for is be like, I'm going to make police and drug dogs. I'm so sorry.
Maybe try like being in one of the other ones first for a while. And then then you could trickle in.
Yeah, trickle in.
Don't start there.
Yeah, the one we forgot that's growing massively. Health and wellness. Health and wellness. Like, there is now a huge industry for, like, my dog has had surgery. One of my dogs has had multiple surgeries on his legs, and we have a canine massage therapist for him. He has seen her every 2 weeks for 2 years. Because he's a fairly extreme case because he has a muscle issue.
Bionic legs.
Yeah, he's bionic legs and he has a hind end issue. Yeah. But like, canine massage therapy is a thing. Physio and laser therapy is a thing. Acupuncture is a thing. Nutrition and like hydrotherapy and stuff is a thing. There's a ton of industries surrounding dog health that are actually growing and growing at a really, really fast pace.
Very popular.
Yeah, so canine fitness is one of those things that really is growing. But anything related to health and wellness, really, really growing.
Yeah.
Really, it's definitely, especially if you're somebody who is into like...
Learning and knowledge and education, that falls more on that side.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? And there is absolutely... Yeah, there's absolutely growth in that, and there's absolutely ways you can do it where you take an online course, and there's ways that you can do it where you've gone to school.
Yes.
Like, there are the canine massage therapist that I have, she was also the massage therapist for the Canadian World Agility Team this year.
Ooh.
Like, yeah, like, you have to have a decent amount of knowledge. She has a decent amount of dog knowledge. She has a decent amount of education. It's one of those things that I think is really growing. And it's one of those things that I think a lot of dogs would benefit from, kind of like people. Like, people go to massage after they have an injury or whatever, but then they stop after a couple months. But then they go back to it. But then they come out. But then, like, yeah. I actually think something like physio, something like, we know somebody that runs, like, a canine pool that she was a client.
Like hydrotherapy.
For a while. Yeah. And so, I mean, there are the hydrotherapy treadmill things, but... honestly, this lady just was a swim instructor, and she made a pool in part of her house. And, I mean, she does a great job.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways that health and wellness for dogs is growing because people are looking to take better care of their dogs now, or they're looking to change their life to take better care of their dogs. And there's a whole pile of things that that's growing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, I think that part of the industry is one of the biggest growing parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking
in the past, yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking for a guaranteed job, I would say vet tech without like a massive amount of education. I would say vet tech and I would say groomer for sure.
Yep.
If you're looking for, hey, I don't have a ton of knowledge, but I'm willing to put in the work, boarding for sure,
daycare.
Walker for sure. And if entry level, like entry level, daycare.
Yeah.
But boarding and walking, like, yeah, you got to put the work in, but man, and you don't need a ton. I mean, it's always better if you have knowledge, but you can get into those.
And it's a good way to get experience.
Very good way
to get experience. And experience is how you get knowledge.
Like, yeah, 100%. So. And then if you're looking to, just live in the dog industry forever, training exists, man. Come join us. It's an experience.
Oh.
It's so good.
That's how we're going to pitch it.
Yeah. I think, but this is the thing, is I think all of those are jobs that, with the exception of like vet tech, people go, oh, well that's, yeah. Well, what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
No.
You're still with the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Which I know I don't know why that sentence bugs me, but it's like I hear it a lot and I know nobody means absolutely nothing by it. Like I know that.
Yeah.
But it's also just like, you still with the dogs?
Yeah, weird.
Somebody's got to be. Otherwise, they're going to eat people and or just die. Like,
weirdly enough,
I am still with the dogs.
Yeah, yeah. And if
they won't leave me alone.
Yeah.
And I can't get out, so.
And please don't ever leave. please don't. Please don't.
And
you gave me a small heart attack when you were like, oh, hey, so what else are you going to do? I was like, no.
When did I say that?
Earlier in this, where somebody was like, what are you going to do next?
Currently?
Yeah.
Like
somebody asked you about starting a company or something.
Yes.
40 minutes ago,
yes.
You scared the shit
out
of me.
Oh, right. Yes.
But Sienna also likes to scare the shit out of me because she really likes to do this fun thing where she updates her resume for no reason other than the fact that she likes to add skills to her resume.
I like titles.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's a lot of work to get titles.
Yeah. So she really likes to update her resume, even though she has assured me many times she has no intention of going anywhere. Now she has big headphones and an on-air light. So really, dreams are being made here, people. We're good. But yeah, that's jobs in the dog industry that aren't just making dual... And this is the fun thing, is people are like, I'm going to make police dogs. And I'm like, oh, are you going to make dual-purpose dogs or single-purpose dogs? And they're like, what's that? And I'm like, no, you're not.
It's okay.
Yeah. I'm like, tell you what, you're not going to.
You just go.
Yeah, please don't. No. Come back to me in 3 years and tell me what you're going to do then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try again.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, this was fun.
Bye.
Okay, bye.